morning, Your Honors. Counsel, before I begin, I'd like to ask the court to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. My name is Chris Cosentino. Excuse me, may it please the court. My name is Chris Cosentino, and I represent Daniel Panfil in his suit against the City of Chicago and the Sheriff of McHenry County. I would like to begin, Your Honors, by discussing what I believe this case is not about. I believe this case is not about a jurisdictional question, as is raised by the Sheriff of McHenry County's brief. I believe that this court has jurisdiction to hear this appeal, and this issue is ripe for appeal. And when I say this issue, I mean the underlying dismissal that was entered at the district court level by Judge Conlon in May of 2001. Excuse me.
How can your claim go forward in the face of Baker against McCollum?
I'm sorry?
How can your claim survive in light of what the Supreme Court has already held in Baker against McCollum?
If Your Honor is referring to the holding in Baker versus McCollum,
yeah,
that says that the officer has no obligation to conduct an error-free investigation, I'm not disputing that, Your Honor.
Well, and the length of time and the fact that indeed, you know, maybe not quite as quickly as possible, but pretty quickly the mistake is discovered once he winds up in McHenry County and he's released. And the fact that this officer, I mean, we have two separate issues in some sense. We have an issue about the original arrest and we have an issue about the detention. The original arrest must be absolutely, clearly all right because the birth date, the appearance, you know, everything all match up except for the first name, and the Supreme Court itself has recognized that people can be rather liberal with names, and so the arrest is fine. So, okay, now he's in custody on a legitimate arrest, and it just takes a while for the wheels to turn. He's brought before a magistrate judge quite promptly.
Your Honor, with all due respect, the holding in Baker versus McCollum is distinguishable on several grounds. First of which, in Baker versus McCollum, Mr. McCollum was arrested on a warrant that was issued in his own name. In that particular case...
But we've already agreed that the arrest is all right.
Absolutely.
This officer had an arrest warrant that he seems to me quite reasonably... I'm sorry for... I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, what happened to Mr. Panfil is a shame. I'm sorry about that. But the question is, should somebody be liable for it?
We're not necessarily going after the Fourth Amendment claim, Your Honor. It's the 14th Amendment due process claim that we're concerned with. Mr. Panfil's incarceration is why we're here. Mr. Panfil was arrested pursuant to a facially valid warrant. There is no dispute about that. What we're suggesting, though, Your Honor, is that there is a minimal burden that the City of Chicago and every other law enforcement agency that took Mr. Panfil into custody subsequent to the arrest had to conduct some type of a background check to see if this was the person that was actually in the warrant. The warrant was issued in the name of Dale Panfil. Officer Cecila arrested Dan Panfil. In light of Mr. Panfil's protests of innocence, I am not Dale Panfil, in addition to the fact that he had his father in the car with him, who told the officer the same thing, in addition to the fact that his driver's license and his
Did either of them tell the officer that they were Dale was an identical?
Yes, they did, Your Honor. The father told Officer Cecila, and I believe this was in one of our amended complaints, he has a twin brother. You want his twin brother, you do not want him.
It was
his identical twin, Your Honor. So the physical characteristics were very similar, if not identical, Your Honor. The problem was that the arrest warrant was issued again for Dale Panfil, and there was no indication on the face of the warrant that we've seen that there was any alias ever used by Dale Panfil in the name of Dan Panfil.
So what is your view of what should have happened after the arrest? What should the state have done?
After he was taken into custody by Officer Cecila and taken to the Jefferson Park Police Department, it's our opinion that he should have been fingerprinted, or they should have done...
Why are you suing Cecila? That's not his responsibility.
Well, Your Honor, we originally brought suit against Officer Cecila because we were unaware of the policies followed by the City of Chicago.
Well, you haven't dropped him, have you?
I'm sorry?
You haven't dropped him from the suit.
Your Honor, at this point, I'm still not sure what the policies of the City of Chicago are. We were never able to get that far at the district court level.
What does that have to do with Cecila?
Well,
say he arrested him with a facially valid warrant. Your complaint is about what happened afterwards. You say it's, you know, due process, not the Fourth Amendment. So why is he still in the case?
Well, there are two issues, Your Honor, why we named CISLA. The first issue is
Is he still in the case?
Well, there are a line of cases, Your Honor, that says that an underlying Monell policy claim cannot be brought against a municipality without the individually named defendant.
Of course not, but the individually named defendant has to be guilty of something.
Well, our opinion, Your Honor, is that Officer Cecil was guilty of not doing the fingerprint check once he brought him into the Jefferson Park station. We don't know
what... Was the other brother on file?
The other brother was on file, Your Honor.
And did the father tell him that?
That he was on file?
Yeah, why would there be a presumption that you're going to be able to compare fingerprints to someone else? Did he say I don't know why they had fingerprints on him, but he had a prior conviction or something?
Yes, he did, Your Honor. The warrant was issued for Dale Panfil. Dale Panfil was wanted on a warrant from McHenry County. That was the warrant that Officer Cecil was executing and arresting Dan
Panfil. Right, but it was for something other than what you'd normally be fingerprinted for.
He was arrested, I believe, on a failure to appear warrant, and I believe that his fingerprints were in the system.
Okay, well, I guess I'm just sort of perplexed. I can understand how everybody's pretty mad here. It's Christmas and everything, but nobody's telling them where Dale is either, are they?
Well, Your Honor, with all due respect, I don't believe that either Dan Panfil or Mr. Panfil's father knew where Dale Panfil was.
They just knew his fingerprints were there.
Well, honestly, Your Honor, they did not know.
Was it Cecil's responsibility to fingerprint?
We believe it was Officer Cecil's responsibility as the booking officer to properly identify the person.
He was the arresting officer.
He was the arresting officer, correct, and he took him to the Jefferson Park.
Well, is it customary for the arresting officer to do fingerprinting?
I am not well versed on the procedure.
Well, then you don't have any basis for retaining them in the case.
Well, Your Honor, we don't know what the policy of the
city is. I know, but you can't sue a person without some evidence, right?
But, Your Honor, with all due respect, we can't go forward with this case if we're not allowed to discover what the evidence was. Beyond the 20,
sue a person without some reasonable basis for thinking he's done something wrong.
We believe we had a reasonable basis.
Well, you'd
Your
never
Honor.
Found out whether the arresting officer has the responsibility for fingerprinting the person he arrests.
Well, Your Honor, with all due respect, we were allowed to go forward with our 26A disclosures, and that was the only discovery that was ever conducted in the case. We were not allowed to serve any other discovery on the defendants because of their motions to dismiss. And therefore, we had no idea what the policies or procedures of the City of Chicago were. If the City of Chicago had a policy by which Officer Cecil was mandated to fingerprint or verify the identity of the arrestee, well, then clearly Officer Cecil was in derogation of his duty in failing to fingerprint Mr. Panfil. If, on the other hand, there was no policy in place, then it was a problem of the City of Chicago.
A problem for the City of Chicago?
That's correct, Your Honor.
What does that mean?
It means that there was a policy in place, a de facto policy, if you will, whereby the City of Chicago would not train its officers or teach its officers to fingerprint people once they're taken into custody. Your Honor.
Now you're saying also, did I hear you correctly say that you can't sue a city under Monell without suing an individual?
I said, Your Honor, there are a line of cases that say that.
That's not right.
That
obviously.
That is not our position, Your Honor.
They didn't need to sue Cecil, against whom you have no evidence whatsoever.
I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Mr. Nerium?
May it please the Court, Your Honors. We had understood Mr. Panfil to be claiming that Officer Chisla had arrested him in violation of the Fourth Amendment, and now he's conceded that he hasn't. Having conceded that, I don't believe Mr. Panfil has any claim for deprivation of liberty without due process of law. Because he was arrested pursuant to a valid, facially valid warrant, and the mistake that Officer Chisla made was reasonable, he wasn't deprived of liberty. His claim is foreclosed by the decision in Baker versus McCollum.
I wonder how far one can take this. This is a very odd case, of course, because of an identical twin being involved. But I got interested in what the risk of errors on these so-called facially valid warrants might be. And I discovered, for example, in the Chicago telephone book, there are no fewer than 30 listings for the name Michael Murphy in Chicago. I just counted them up. And it seemed to me if you were the wrong Michael Murphy, who some officer decided to drag in over Christmas weekend, and you were begging them to identify you correctly so that you could leave and go home and be with your family, it seems that the attitude is, oh, tough luck, you know, just kind of stay around until we decide we feel like checking you out. I mean, there are a lot of people with multiple names, in other words, and I wonder where the burden actually lies. If it's not with the arresting officer, is it with the booking officer? Is it with the jail? Is it with the... at some point, there needs to be something that would allow someone to demonstrate to the state, in the broad sense of the term, that you're the wrong person.
Well, let me first say, Your Honor, that the mistake, for example, if the police officers arrested one of 30 Michael Murphys, their mistake would have to be reasonable in the circumstances. And here it certainly was a reasonable mistake that Officer Chisholm made. But beyond that, and it is unfortunate that Mr. Panfield spent Christmas in jail, but it falls squarely within Baker versus McCollum. He was held by the city for less than 2 days over a holiday. Mr. McCollum in Baker was held 3 days over New Year's.
Why do we think the Supreme Court attached... I realize they observed in Baker that it was a holiday weekend, but does the Constitution turn on whether you happen to be wrongfully incarcerated on a holiday versus on a work day?
I don't believe it does, Your Honor, but I think that it has something to do with the not immediately checking the fingerprint files and checking all the fingerprints. Mr. Panfield was arrested on Christmas Eve. He was held over Christmas. The day after Christmas, he was turned over to the jurisdiction that issued the warrant, which then straightened the identification matter out.
Do identical twins have the same fingerprints?
Apparently not, Your Honor.
They're not identical. Although
they are. there are small differences, uh-huh. But they're very similar, I understand. But that, of course, that's not in the record. The court in Baker versus McCollum held, the judge, that the issue of identification would be sorted out. That did not have to be investigated immediately and could be sorted out, and that the arrestee's rights were protected by due process of law because of the arrestee's right to a speedy trial. And here the issue was straightened out fairly quickly. The proposed amended complaint failed to state a claim because there is no set of facts consistent with the claim under which the plaintiff could recover under Section 1983. No further questions? We ask that you affirm the judgment as Officer Chase on the city.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Miriam. Mr. Harrison?
May it please the court. Counsel, good morning, Your Honors. I'm James Harrison. I'm a Special Assistant State's Attorney on behalf of the County of McHenry. I'm the McHenry County Sheriff. I have 2 points to discuss. One, I do think Baker does control, although I will stipulate that the County of McHenry had Mr. Panfield in custody for probably 3 days and a third because we received him in the evening. The next morning, he went to court. He saw the judge. He protested his innocence. I can only assume from plaintiff's pleadings that the public defender's office and the McHenry County Jail investigated the claims he made to the court. As a result of that investigation, his true identity was found out, and he was summarily released by court order and by the county on the 30th.
Now, the county's out of this case.
Well, the county was dismissed in the original dismissal order, and at no time did they plead any specific facts to the county. The best they could come up with was like a respondeat superior theory with regard to the sheriff. The sheriff was dismissed for no in his individual capacity because there were no facts put against him in that. The Fourth Amendment is apparently a waived issue, which leads us to the 14th Amendment. When they received an individual in custody on a valid warrant, on a valid arrest, they took him to court. They followed the directives of the court. They conducted an investigation, took him back to court, and he was released. I'm not certain what additional process is due an individual like that under the Constitution, but clearly it appears as though the sheriff in McHenry County acted within the spirit of Baker, conducted an investigation, and it was an error-free investigation because it resulted in correctly identifying the individual and having him released from custody. The other issue that I posed in my brief was the issue of the timeliness of these matters. The original motions to dismiss were dismissed on May 23rd for the city of Chicago, and on May 25th for the county of McHenry and those defendants. The court issued a final judgment.
But the court erroneously issued the final judgment on May 23rd. There can be no final judgment until all claims of all parties are disposed of. So for the court to issue an order 2 days later disposing of more claims by more parties or against more parties facially shows that it wasn't a final judgment, and she never certified it under 54B either. That's a meaningless piece of paper, that first Rule 58.
They were all answered by the clerk on the same date. But yes, the date on the order was May 23rd, which was 2 days before our order was issued.
Yeah. And the court never says in the July order that she's operating under anything like Rule 59 or Rule 60 or anything. She regards this, as one would think, with dismissals without prejudice, as an effort to refile a complying document, which she finds wanting, and at that point says, you know, no point in doing anything else.
Well, our concerns were with the motion to dismiss and the ruling as it pertained to McHenry County. The court indicated that he suffered a flaw in his pleading that couldn't be overcome, the fact that the sheriff's office was involved in the investigation, that he was taken to court, that they discovered his true identity through their investigation, released him, and that was fatal to his 1983 claim. There was no way to restate that, and no better example than his proper Second Amendment complaint. And if you read the court's order in May and the court's order in July as they pertain to the McHenry County defendants, they're virtually identical. It was the same ruling all over again.
But that happens all the time in multiple party cases. You still, I mean, even if one party has basically been sitting around waiting for the judgment to be final, if you can't get a 54B order, you just have to wait. And the appeal is here now. It would be timely, you agree, if the July 20th date.
Absolutely. It would be timely if the motion to amend the complaint was timely. It was taken 33 days after the original order, which caused some difficulty for us, in as much as we did have the AO 450 form indicating that there was a judgment. The minute order on ours said that the action was dismissed, not the complaint, but the action. And the Seventh Circuit has held that when an action is dismissed as opposed to a complaint, that is a final order for purposes of appeal. In the Paganis case, and I believe also in the Card Carriers case, both cases made that representation. So to look at the language, it says that it was dismissed, the action was dismissed, we treat it as a final order. No 59 motion was filed, no 60 motion was pled, and they waited more than 30 days. That order should have become final. And if it was final after 30 days, then there would be no jurisdiction for the trial court to have heard that motion, or for this court to be here today. That was our point, Judge.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Thank you for your time, Your Honor.
Mr. Costantino, how much time does he have? 2 minutes?
Thank you. I'd just like to respond briefly to the Sheriff of McHenry County's argument by Mr. Harrison. I believe that this court has held that dismissals, quote, without prejudice, are not final or appealable orders. The dismissals on May 23rd and May 25th by Judge Conlin were both dismissals without prejudice. Therefore, I don't think it would have been possible.
Dismissals without prejudice are often appealable as final orders.
Well, Your Honor, I'm referring
to if a case is dismissed for lack of jurisdiction, it's a dismissal without prejudice. It's appealable.
That would be indicated
appealable as long as it's clear that the district court is through with the case. It's appealable. It doesn't matter what its order is called.
Your Honor, I understand. I don't disagree with you, but I think in that particular situation, a dismissal for lack of jurisdiction, it would be indicated on the order itself why it was dismissed for lack of jurisdiction. In Furness versus Board of Trustees, which is a case that we cited, Justice Easterbrook held that generally...
Judge Easterbrook.
Sorry.
Not the Illinois Appellate Court.
Sorry, Your Honor. Judge Easterbrook held that generally dismissals without prejudice are not final and appealable because the plaintiff is free to amend his complaint. And therefore, when Judge Conlon entered dismissals without prejudice on May 23rd and May 25th, we were reading that as allowing us to file an amended complaint. I believe Your Honor also held in...
Did you file an amended complaint?
Yes, we did, Your Honor. We filed our amended complaint, and we are appealing, actually, the denial for leave to file a second amended complaint, but also the underlying dismissal. With respect to the City of Chicago's argument, I think Baker versus McCullen is clearly distinguishable in this particular set of circumstances. First of all, Mr. Pantel was held for more than just 2 days, as Chicago contends. Mr. Pantel was held for a total of 6 days. Now, the City of Chicago would parse out the amount of time he spent in the City of Chicago custody as opposed to McHenry County's custody. Theoretically, the problem is he could be moved from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, and if it were only for 2 or 3 days at a time, he would never have a cause of action against anyone. And so the problem with that case as opposed to this case is that Mr. Pantel was held for a total of 6 days, whereas Baker versus McCullen, the court said 3 days over a holiday weekend was not enough time. I don't know if there's a magical bright line rule, but I think 6 days would be enough time. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.